Okay, this evening we want to take a look at Psalm 33, and this is one of those psalms that I think one of my favorite psalms. I probably have about 150 of those favorite psalms. They're all precious to me. I enjoy reading them, meditating upon the words, and preaching from the book of Psalms. I've entitled the message from the words found in verse 9. God spake and it was done. God speaks and it's done. It's not going to happen. Maybe it could happen. If God speaks and God commands it, it's done and it stands fast. Nobody's going to change it. He said, I'm the Lord, I do not change. God speaks and it's done. That's the title. God speaks and it's done. What great comfort this is to a guilty sinner in need of mercy. His word and his promise cannot fail. His word and his promise cannot fail. All the promises of God that are exceeding great and precious. You think of everything God has promised. Exceeding great and precious promises of God. They cannot fail. Because God can't fail. God can't fail. He spake and it was done. He commands and it stands fast. You remember from our study in 2 Corinthians, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being persuaded that all that God had promised, all that he's promised, he is able to perform. You remember the last words of Joshua? Joshua 24, verse 14, behold, today, this day, he said, I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and all your soul, not one thing hath failed. But all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you, all are come to pass unto you, not one thing hath failed. Mark it down. Count it as done. Everything God says in this book, every promise, every warning, everything will come to pass. Now, where does that leave us? Verse 1, 2, and 3, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Again in verse 21, for our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we trusted in him. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is proper, right, comely. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery of and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Don't just make a loud noise. Now play skillfully with a loud noise. Because the word of the Lord is right. All of his works are done in truth. Rejoicing, praising, and singing unto the Lord is suitable. That's what that word commonly means. It's suitable. It's right. It's beautiful. It is proper. We had that. Don't turn. Let me just read it to you. I think it was last week or the week before in Psalm 147. Remember, we read these words. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant, and praise is comely. It's right. It's good. It's proper. To praise ye the Lord. Now, who is this rejoicing in the Lord for? And who is this praising the Lord right and good? It says there, it describes his people as ye righteous. You see that? And for the upright. Who is to rejoice in the Lord and praise him and worship him and honor him? Those who are made right. Ye righteous. And praise is comely for the upright. For the righteous, those who are made righteous in Christ. Look what it says just up the page there in Psalm 32, verse 11, just up from Psalm 33. Psalm 32, 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in your heart. He's given us grace in our heart. Although fallen in Adam, ruined in Adam, we're made upright in righteous in Christ. You remember Romans chapter 5, for by one man's disobedience, many became sinners. So by the obedience of another shall many be made, what? Righteous. Righteous. I love that. And Adam all died, and Christ shall all be made alive. He has made us righteous, and he has made us upright. Those who are made upright and righteous, you know what they like to do? They like to hear of him. They like to see him. They like to rejoice in the Lord and praise him. Praise the Lord. Whatever means that God may give us instruments in singing, and then we sing this new song. We sing this new song with a well-tuned heart. Think of this in a spiritual way. For the Lord has tuned our heart to sing unto his name. Remember, turn over here to Psalm 40. Look at this. Psalm 40, verse 1. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set me up. He set my feet upon the rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So he brought me up. He set me up. He established me, put a song in my mouth. He tuned me up. He tuned me up. What is this song? Look over here at Psalm 98:1. Psalm 98:1. This new song. This new song is about the new covenant. Psalm 98:1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. It's a song what he had done. Psalm 98:1. For he had done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. And who won the victory? His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. The new song of redemption is worthy as the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessings, and power. We sang just a moment ago, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing calls for songs of loudest praise unto him. Because, verse 4, that word there on verse 4, F-O-R, because the word of the Lord is right, is true. The word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven. He said heaven and earth is going to pass away. My word never pass away. The word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done, and they're done in truth. Truth and righteousness. Truth and righteousness. The word of the Lord is his act, his business, his cause, his counsel, his purpose. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Whatever God does, it is right. Right? He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We read a moment ago, he said, I've spoken it, I purposed it, I'll bring it to pass, I will do it. The word of the Lord is right, it's good, holy. And his works, he says there, his works are done in truth. Can God act any way but holy and true? He cannot act contrary to his character. His character is holy, holy unto the Lord. His works are done in truth. All of his actions, his works are holy. His works are the result of his word. And his word are his decrees, his mandates, his statutes. There's no lie in God's word. It's impossible for him to lie. There's no sham in his works. There's no deceit in his promise. In his works of creation, they're all right and good and true. His works of providence, working all things after the counsel of his own will, of him, through him, and to him are all things. His works are done in truth, in salvation. He saves us in a way that's honoring to his character, satisfying both his holy character and his mercy. His truth abounds. Where sin abounds, Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. The word of the Lord is right. All of his works are done. He said it's finished. They're done in truth. Verse 5, he loveth righteousness. Could he do less, being the holy God? He hates wickedness. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is good. But I like the reference on that word goodness. The marginal reference is mercy. The earth is full of the mercy of the Lord. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. You remember Jeremiah chapter 3, Lamentation? He said the Lord's mercies are new every morning. God delights to show mercy to his people. Only in the gospel of Christ can God love righteousness and justice in complete harmony with his holy character and save his people from their sin and not violate his own law of holy justice and righteousness. That's the beauty and mystery of the gospel. How God can be just and justify the ungodly. How God can be a just God and Savior only in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to turn with me? You can. I'm going to turn to Psalm 85. And we're going to read verse 10 and verse 11. Mercy and truth, Psalm 85, 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That's reconciliation. That happened at the cross. Truth sprang out of the earth. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. And our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. As he is, so are we in this world. Oh, what good news. What good news. How God can be a just God and Savior only in Christ. One old preacher said this, if the earth be full of his mercy, what must heaven be like? Think about that. If earth is full of his mercy, what must heaven be like? No sin, no evil, no wickedness. What must heaven be like? Look at verse 6 and verse 7. By the word of the Lord, were the heavens made. God created all things by the word of his power. He spake and it was done. In the beginning, God said, let there be this light, darkness, water, all these things by the word of the Lord. And we can look at this too as by the word being the Lord Jesus Christ. God made all things through Christ, the creator. Without him was not anything made that was made. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. God's the creator of heaven and earth. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. You think the infinite vastness of space. We read one time in a psalm recently, you remember he counts all the stars by their name. He knows them all by name. He created them all. He's intimately acquainted with his creation. He sustains it by his power. The study of physics is an amazing thing. I don't know how these scientists can study physics and not come away in awe and reverence of God's creation. The laws of physics are so exact and so continuous, they never alter, they never change. Gravity is always down, it's never up. God sustains and controls all things by the word of his power. The orbits of the planets, our solar system, everything, the sun, the moon, the stars, the seasons, everything controlled by Almighty God. The rain, the clouds, the wind, the lightning. Look at verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of the Lord. Isn't that good? Stand in awe of him. You remember when we read the description of those of the total depravity of humanity. One of the things that God described when he said there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none to understand, there's none that seek after God. And then he said there's no fear of God before their eyes. I can't remember what year it was, but there was a campaign that went along for years. It must have been back in the 60s or 70s or sometime. But everybody wore a shirt or a hat that said no fear. Remember? I can't remember when that was. Our Lord said, let all the earth fear the Lord. Now by nature, that's not there. The carnal mind is enmity against God. But he said, let all the earth fear the Lord. That's what every man should do. Every man should regard him as holy and reverent is his name. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world be awed by the character of God. You know why one of the problems in the last 100 years or so, the preaching of God, the God who is God, the God of the Bible, has been brought down to a level to make God equal with man. And they brought God down in their preaching, in their teaching. That's why there's no awe and reverence of God. The way to have men stand in reverence and awe before God is to lift him up high. Declare that he is holy. Declare that he is sovereign. Declare that he is Lord. Declare that you're in his hand. He can save you or damn you according to his own purpose and will. He said, I am the Lord. Cannot I do with my own what I will? Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world, oh, we stand in awe of him. Shrink with fear, reverence, and holy adoration before God. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They will stand in awe of him then, won't they? But we ought to do it now. We ought to fear the Lord now. The fear of the Lord, you remember the scripture, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Let all the inhabitants of the world awe and reverence him. Verse 9. He spake. What does he speak? All of his decrees, all of his counsels, all of his mandates. He spake. And it was done. God hath from the beginning, we read a moment ago, God hath from the beginning declared the end. How can you do that? The Lord Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. He spake and it was done. He spake, the Lord, and it's finished, it's done. He commands, and it stands fast. Nothing going to change the decree of Almighty God. Nothing going to change the decree of Almighty God. Whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. He said, I, the Lord, do all these things. I love that verse, don't you? It describes the character of the God that we ought to stand in awe and reverence before. God is God. In all things. You can't give him too much honor, too much glory. Verse 10 and verse 11. Now here's the exact opposite. God is God, holy, sovereign, almighty. He does according to his will in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. Now look at the exact opposite. Verse 10 and verse 11. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to nothing. Now men can plot and plan, but God brings all the counsels of men to nothing. Nothing. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people no effect. Two extreme opposites. No counsel, purpose, or wisdom shall stand but God's. The Lord overrules all evil to bring out of it good for His own glory. Think about that. The wrath of man will praise thee. The remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh all the devices of the people none effect. None effect. Man is so frail and impotent and wicked that all devices, plans, and thoughts and purposes shall fail. But not so our great God. His counsel is forever. His thoughts to all generation. Look at verse 11. The counsel of the Lord. He brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. But the counsel of the Lord shall stand forever. 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 The thoughts of His heart. Now you think of all the thoughts of the heart of God. That's infinite, isn't it? All the thoughts of His heart. His heart's toward His people. He's loved His people with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness does He draw them. The counsel of the Lord, that stands forever. Because God is forever. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. The thoughts of His heart, they continue generation after generation after generation. What was true in Adam's day, Abraham's day, Noah's day, Moses' day, Isaiah's day, Paul's day, the Reformer's day, true in our day. God does not change. He will carry out the thoughts of His heart toward His people. And that leads us to verse 12 where He said, blessed. Blessed is that people. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. That's a blessed people. That's a blessed people. I believe this nation here He's talking about is a nation of His elect. That's a blessed nation whom the Lord hath chosen for His own inheritance. And the people that He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Turn to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Blessed, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causes to reproach unto thee, to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. At the blessed people, those whom the Lord hath chosen to be His own, to be His inheritance. That's a blessed people. My friend, how blessed we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Do you remember, turn back one page. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Psalm 32, 1. Whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. That's a blessed man. The blessed man that's chosen of God, that's redeemed by His precious blood, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Blessed is that man. And the people. Our Lord said, you didn't choose me, I've chosen you. God hath from the beginning chosen us unto salvation. What do we call that? We call that God's elective love. God's elective grace. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings according as He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Had He not chosen us in eternity, we never would have believed the gospel. You remember from Acts 13:48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed? Had He not chosen us, we never would have believed the gospel. We don't love Him because He first loved us. He's blessed us and chosen us to be His own. What a blessing. To think that God set His eternal love, the thoughts of His heart upon His people. Look at verse 15. Yeah, let me go back. Verse 13. The Lord looked from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looked upon the earth, the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned all their hearts alike, considered all their works. What does the Lord see when he looks from heaven? Let's see if we can find Psalm 14. Turn over there. Psalm 14. The Lord looks from heaven. Psalm 14. Turn over there. Psalm 14. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Isaiah 40. But look at Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, verse 1, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Oh, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any did understand and seek after God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's the same as Romans 3, isn't it? That's where it comes from. The Lord looks down. What does he see? Man at his best age, vanity. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considers all their works. What does he say of all our works? Isaiah 64, all our work is filthy rags in his sight. Boy, why would you trust in yourself? Why would you trust in your rottenness to save you? Men who are going about to establish the righteousness of their own, all they're doing is trusting their wicked works for salvation. I don't care how moral a man is, he's still a sinner. Everything he does is contaminated. Everything he thinks is contaminated with sin. Everything he fashions is depraved, just like himself. He fashioneth their hearts alike and considers all their works. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, he says in verse 16, there's no king saved by a multitude of hosts. You can have the biggest army, Russia or China, United States, you can have the biggest army in the world. Not going to put away one sin. There's no king saved by a multitude of an army, of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by strength, not his strength. The Lord saves those who are weak. A horse. Oh, a horse. Would you trust a horse for salvation? A horse is a vain thing for safety. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Neither is there any can deliver by their strength. Not at all. Salvation, as it's known and revealed in the Word of God, is totally by the power of God, the will of God. Mortal power is mere fiction, and those who trust in it are fools. That's right. We're saved by the power of God, not by the power of an army. No man can deliver himself from his sin. A guilty sinner cannot produce anything but sin. Now, verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord. The eye of the Lord is upon his people. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul. To deliver their soul from death. Boy, that's good news, isn't it? It's appointed unto man once to die after that judgment. This body's going to die, but not my soul. I live forever in him. To deliver their soul from death. From death. He delivered our soul, who gave himself for our sin, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, to whom be glory forever and ever. Remember? Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Those who fear him are those who believe him. Those that hope. We hope. We hope in his mercy. We don't hope in our merit, do we? Well, I hope in my merit to get me through. No, I hope in his mercy. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. To deliver their soul. He has delivered us by his blood atonement. He gave himself for our sins. God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. and to keep them alive. He keeps us alive in this famine. We're in a famine. This life is a famine. He keeps us alive here until the time that He takes us home. Be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. Boy, He's worth waiting on, isn't He? My soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. He is our salvation. Turn over about a page or two. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Verse 1. Psalm 27. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. The host should camp against me. My heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this I'll be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in a time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me and set me upon the rock. In the Lord Jesus Christ, my soul waiteth for Thee. He is our help. Very present help in trouble. You remember Psalm 46:1? Therefore our heart shall, verse 21, our heart shall rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. You remember as our dear beloved brother Apostle Paul sits in a Roman jail cell waiting execution. He writes back to those believers in Philippi and said, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord. Wait a minute, Paul. You're about to die. Yeah, rejoice in the Lord. Be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. For our heart shall rejoice in the Lord. We are the true Israel. Worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Because we have trusted His holy name. Who are you trusting? Oh, I'm trusting God who wants to and can't. Oh, that's not the one I'm trusting. I'm trusting the one who has all power in heaven and earth. We have trusted His holy name. Holy and reverent is His name. Now let Thy mercy be upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. Let Thy be merciful to me, the sinner. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Him. All of our hope is in Him. All of our hope is in Him. All of it. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of God. I'll let you go with this one. Proverbs 3 said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy path. Let thy mercy, Lord, show me Your glory. I'll be merciful to whom I will. His greatest glory is my greatest need. I need mercy. Oh Lord, let it be upon us. Lord, we hope in Thee. We have no other hope. Christ in you is the hope, good hope through grace. Christ in you is the hope of glory.